The epistle appointed for this quinquagesima Sunday is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part that we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Luke. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day, he will rise again. And they understood none of these things, that this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside, begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him. But he cried out the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, What would thou have me do for thee? And he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. This is the end of the epistle and gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Today, being the quinquagesima Sunday, which indicates that we're 50 days out from the Holy Feast of Easter, is again the third Sunday in preparation for the great season of Lent. And as St. Paul has preached in his last two Sundays, helping us to prepare and get into the atmosphere of the Lenten season. As we know in Septuagesima, he brings out about running a race. and how those who run a race, how much workout and exercise and taking care of their body and everything else to be able to win that race. But as always, those who do that, of course, they only win one reward. Whereas we are trying to run the spiritual race and preparing ourselves and getting ready for ourselves that we will win the crown of life. And by running that race, we're trying to do our daily duties and the things that God wants us to do and how well we perform these duties. Sexagesima, St. Paul comes back to us and says, or preaches, how much are you willing to suffer now for the love of God? As we're reminded of his scourging and shipwrecks and dealing with false brethren and 99 other things. And he went on and on and on. But he never got discouraged. He kept up the good fight, knowing that this was the road that the Lord showed him. This was the path that he must follow. And today, in his beautiful epistle about charity, he crowns it all. Because without charity, the running of the race and suffering all these things, if it isn't for the love of God, it's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. And that's what we're trying to bring home today, is that charity that we have to hold in our hearts for the love of God. And of course, for the love of our neighbor. It's because of the love of God we do the things that we do to please him, to help our neighbor, to live more closely united with him in our daily duties, in our prayers, in our sacrifices. And speaking about sacrifice, as we're trying to get into the atmosphere of Lent, we have to also remind ourselves, if it doesn't hurt, then we're not really giving much to the good Lord. So things we offer up, we got to suffer a little bit from those. And why are we suffering these things during Lent? Because we're trying to wash away the bad things of other times. For instance, what has gone on for the rest of the year. We take this time out, these 40 days, to clean house, to renew our good resolutions, to prepare our hearts and minds for the great feast of Easter. The church is already prepared. It's been draped in purple now for 3 weeks, setting the atmosphere. So when Ash Wednesday comes, we take to heart what is said there, remembering that we are dust, and unto dust we shall return. Reminds us of our last end, to help us to overcome our sinful habits. But during this time, we prepare with tears, with prayers, with compunction of heart. And every time we look at the crucifix, we see what our sins have accomplished, what we have done. And this is the time we pray and do our spiritual exercises and remind the good Lord that we are sorry for this. We are sorry for giving in to ourselves. We wish to make amends because sin is very attractive. It's kind of like the attraction that Adam and Eve had in the garden, where Eve was looking at that fruit and holding out her hand and thinking, that looks so delicious. And sin is the same way. It's so attractive. And that's why we have to fight against ourselves all the time, to build up our will power to where we can say no. And that's what Lent helps us prepare us for. While we give up some of the luxuries that we're accustomed to doing throughout the rest of the year, we give up a little sleep and food and merriment and entertainment and spend more time in spiritual reading and prayers and meditating, trying to get close to the good Lord, trying to prove ourselves to him that we are going to change interiorly, not put on a show exteriorly, not to go around looking like I'm some holy so-and-so. We can't do that. We can't ever allow ourselves to be so proud and so arrogant. We have to become humble. We have to remind ourselves that we are unprofitable servants. We have to believe this in the innermost part of our hearts, that I can do nothing without the grace of God. And again, what part of that nothing do we not understand? Once we believe this in our hearts, then God can work with us and work through us with His grace. We always have to be on our toes. We always have to be watch and be ready and watch and pray that we don't become prey to the devil's deceits, which are so many and we so easily fall into. Remember our good works that we do, the charity that we wish to perform. If we feel good about that, if it makes us feel good because we did a charitable act, there too it's done for the wrong reason. It must be always done for the love of God and for His good pleasure, not mine, not mine at all. I must not take any notion, acknowledgement of this, but to give freely and then move on. Because what happens is we start feeling good and we do it again and again and we start feeling, oh, this is, you know, I did such and such this week. It reminds me of the parable of the publican and the Pharisee and the publican. What did the Pharisee do? Went up there and told the good Lord, oh, look what I do. I'm so great. I give tithes. I give on this, on that. I do everything, but I'm not like that publican. Heavens, no. I mean, I do everything just right and this and that. Does that sound like charity? Does that sound like the love of God? So we have to be always careful that we do everything for the right reasons, but this one has to be solely for the good pleasure of God alone, not for ourselves. As St. Paul says, charity is kind. It's not ambitious. Charity is patient and kind. Charity does not envy, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, nor is it self-seeking. Charity never fails. It bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is the atmosphere we're trying to develop. So when Lent begins, we start. And we keep reminding the good Lord throughout the whole time the reasons why we are doing these things. Because of the love of Him. Because we need His mercy. We need His forgiveness. We need His help. And this is what He will do for us. Because after all, we have to stop and consider what's at stake here. My soul. And if this is the way to purify me, to make me more cleaner and pure in His sight, then I should do these exercises with great faith, with great hope, and all the charity my heart can muster up. So as we prepare for Lent, let's try to get into that atmosphere of humility and also a great hatred of sin. And we know our faults, we know our predominant faults. These are the things we have to go after. These are the things we have to correct. And these are the things we have to keep in mind that we don't like. And we must do something about it. So, with God's grace, we can do it. May God bless you, and always remember that you are always remembered every day at the altar. In the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.